Take your Bibles, if you will, and we will continue our series of sermons from the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 8. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Luke, chapter 8. There are Bibles available for you to use in the pews if you forgot yours today. But Luke, chapter 8, and we'll begin at verse 22. And now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for this story that we've read and the one that we will talk about in just a few moments. May the Spirit move today. May hearts be touched. Maybe even souls saved. But Lord, we pray that your name would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last Sunday, we finished by looking at these verses, 22 through 25, and we saw that Jesus and his disciples were going by ship across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, tired, laid down and fell asleep, and someone would say, well, wait a minute, why was he tired? Isn't he God? He is God. But you need to remember that he had come, and he was now in human form, and he suffered as a man. And there came a storm of wind on the lake, and may I say this, there will come storms in your life. Storms are inevitable. And the ship was taking on water, and that is never a good thing. And it was in jeopardy of sinking. A number of years ago, my wife and I were out in Oregon, and when we're out there, Donna always wants to go whale watching. And on this particular day, we got in what they called a Zodiac, in which there were six passengers and the pilot. And we had gone out and had been looking for whales and were fortunate to see one, and it waved at us. You know how they waved that flute. And we were quite happy for that. And we were on our way back and moving along quite rapidly, because he said, that being our pilot, we were running behind schedule and there were going to be people waiting. And all of a sudden, right in front of us, a whale came up. And he's cruising along at a good speed. And I just screamed. Now, I know I shouldn't scream like a little girl. But I just screamed, whale. And I'm telling you what, we're cruising along this way, and he came up right about where Paul Wutke is, and I'm thinking, we're going to hit that guy. And the pilot just turned off and tried to stop so fast, the engine cut. And I tell you what, my first thought was, if we'd have hit that thing, who knows what would have happened, because I don't like water over my head. And I guarantee you, there in the Pacific Ocean, the water would have been over my head. And I tell you what, I was screaming. These men, a number of them were fishermen by trade. They all came to Jesus and awoke the master, declaring they were going to perish. Jesus arose, and you know how it is when you're awakened out of deep sleep? That's why I hate phones. A phone should have on, don't ring now because the person is asleep. But Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging water. And then he asked them a very pointed question, where is your faith? The book of James tells us faith without works is dead, being alone. We are to show our faith by our works. So I ask you the question this morning, where is your faith? In what are you putting your faith? I certainly hope you're not putting your faith in the government of the United States of America. I mean, as great a nation as we are, folks, being trillions of dollars in debt, we're being held up on some pretty shaky legs. But I hope your faith is not in the U.S. economy. I hope it's not in your health. But I hope you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Luke, continuing chapter 8, and this is where our sermon is this morning, beginning at verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, he'd been tormenting this certain man, but he begs God or Christ not to torment him. Verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him." We begin by saying there is a man. The book of Luke calls him a certain man which had devils. Yes, I do believe that the unsaved can be demon possessed. And I believe that we have many people in our world today that are indeed demon possessed. I mean, I think we see it in the entertainment world. We have demon-possessed people. We see it in the pornography industry. We have demon-possessed people. We have demon-possessed people who oftentimes are in positions of authority and are leading our nation in the wrong direction. But then I also believe that we that are saved can be influenced by demons. Mark says of him, a man with an unclean spirit. Matthew, in this same episode, says there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by them. One might ask the question, why does Matthew mention two while Mark and Luke only mention one? Could it be that only one was willing to follow our Lord once delivered from the demons? I believe that to be true. And I believe this, that if when we are delivered from that which is wrong, that if we do not continue to replace that empty void with the Lord, we will find that the evil will return once again. How many are delivered from their sinful ways only to return as the pig to its slop? The demons are mentioned more in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. It may well be that Jesus' presence stimulated an unusual outburst of demonic activity as Satan marshaled his forces to resist the Lord. Satan knew why the Lord had come. You do remember that the temptations that Satan did for the Lord, or in hoping to lead the Lord astray, were to get him not to go as a Savior. Their antagonism toward human beings is shown in their oppressing and possessing persons. The New Testament portrays demons as living, malignant, conscious, individual beings, subordinate to the devil and active in their allegiance to his kingdom. They will share the same fate of Satan, which is eternity in what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. But here we find in verse 27, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. May I say this? I believe that Satan's desire is always to get people to remove their clothes. I believe that Satan's desire is always to lead us away from what God would have us do. May I say this? I believe that Satan's desire and the demon's desires is to bring us down to their level. May I say this? I believe that Satan's desire is to get you to look other places and not to the Lord. I believe oftentimes we have forgotten where we need to look. We've taken our eyes off what is important to put it on many times pleasure. And many times we've let it lead us astray. We've lost focus. Do you believe that we have lost focus? I believe a lot of churches have lost focus. They've taken their eyes off the preaching of the Word of God and put it on entertainment. May I say this, ladies, when you wear your clothes, do you do it to honor the Lord or to please the flesh? You know, I believe this, that oftentimes in our television watching, are we doing it to honor the Lord or to please flesh? We find that Satan's desire is to take our eyes off the Lord and to put it on ourselves. We need to be careful. We that are saved, we are still tempted and influenced by Satan. Those who are lost, they can be possessed by devils. May I say that rebellion and the demons of Satan go hand in hand. And we live in a very rebellious society today. We are rebelling because we don't want to believe that there is a right or there is a wrong. Judges 21:25, it's the last verse of the book of Judges. And it ends with this, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Folks, may I say this, God has a plan. He does have rules and regulations. He does want us to live God-honoring lives. We went to see our grandkids in Grand Rapids. Can I take a short little commercial here? How many of you love grandkids? Yes, yes. As one has said, if we'd known they were so much fun, we'd have had them first. Yes. Donna and I have been blessed with 8 grandchildren. Matthew has 4 and Brian has 4. He says they're not done yet. Erica doesn't really say much. But our ones in Grand Rapids, we have the oldest one at 16. I know I don't look near old enough to have a grandchild of 16. And then the youngest one, Travis, is in the second grade, and they all attend North Point Christian School over in Grand Rapids. And it was Grandparents' Day. In the early part of the day, we were over with the junior highs and high schoolers, and the latter part of the day was with first through fifth grade. And so we went over there, and we enjoyed our time together. And if you want to hear more about it, I'll be glad to express more of it. But between the time that we were at Grandparents' Day and then we were going to go to a Powder Puff football game. Have you ever been to a Powder Puff football game? That's girls were playing, okay? And it was the junior girls against the senior girls. And, of course, our granddaughter being 16 is for the juniors, so we were rooting for her team. But between the Grandparents' Day and the Powder Puff game, Donna says we have to go to Rockford, Michigan. You ever been to Rockford, Michigan? They have a shoe place there. Shoes are on discount. How many pair did you come home with? You don't know. How many pair of shoes did you come home with? Yeah, 5 pair. They what? All the other one had to be replaced, of course. You want to say that again? Yeah, they all had to be replaced. Yes. Okay, very good. So anyways, she's there at the outlet store. It's just the one, guys, it's just shoes. And so she walked there, and I walked into the little town of Rockford, and I walked into one store, and they said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "No, because my wife's at the shoe store." And I went on, but I went into a store that is called the whole store. Everything that is made is goes to help women in danger because of trafficking. Do you know what I'm talking about? The trafficking of women from India and Pakistan and third world countries. Why would there have to be a store raising money to help against the fight against women who are put into that type of trafficking? Because those who are doing it are God-honoring? No. We find that we live in a world where females are at risk because they answer an application saying, "How would you like to go to America?" Oh yes, a lot of that trafficking is here in our country. "How would you like to go to America and be a nanny?" They lie to them. Oh, can you imagine lying? Do you say, are these people possessed? They are definitely possessed. See, the love of money is the root of all evil. And they will put people into places of unbearable torment so they can win a little bit of money, get a little bit of money. Let me ask you this. Who are the number one recruiters of these women? Women are the number one recruiters of these women. See, we live in a world that is evil. And the one thing that is good is found in the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ, and we want to take Him out of our schools and out of our courts and out of our nation. The one thing that's good. Judges 2, 10, 11, and 13a says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, those that were with Joshua, those that had come out of the wilderness. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord." Does that sound like America today? "There arose another generation which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forsook the Lord." Do you think there are people today that have forsaken the Lord? They've been brought up maybe in a Christian home. They were brought up in a church that honored the Lord. And somewhere along the line, they took their eyes off the Lord. Maybe they went to college, and while in college, they were taught evolution, and they didn't have enough faith to realize that evolution is a total lie, and it's a fabricated story, and it's a bad theory. And they took their eyes off the Lord. Maybe they got discouraged somewhere along the line because a bad thing happened. And they said, "Well, God of love would never do that." Listen, I tell you what, my mother's at home today. You can talk to my dad. Her health situation is not good. As you know, she has cancer in her lungs. The report says in her vertebrae, in her arm, different areas, it doesn't look good. And boy, I'm not going to serve God anymore because there's cancer in my mother's body. Do you think that'd be the right thing to do? No, but there are people who stop. They become bitter. They become angry. Folks, my mother has cancer because there's sin in the world. And sin brought sickness. But we need to realize that during the difficult times, God is with us. And He can give us strength and He can give us encouragement. You know, I've told people, pray for my mother, but pray for my dad. 61 years they've been married. He told me the other day, he says, "I don't know what I'm going to do without her." Difficult times come and people stop looking to the Lord. The other day, my wife and I were watching a movie. We all know of Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol. How many of you know of Little Dorrit? Little Dorrit. Anybody know of Little Dorrit? Nobody? I see a hand way in the back. Yes. Charles Dickens wrote Little Dorrit. Now, of course, you have to realize that when he wrote these things, they were week by week in a newspaper, and then eventually they made it a book. A Little Dorrit was born in the Marshalsea. The Marshalsea was the debtor's prison. People could not pay their debts. They were put into prison. Can you imagine if we had debtors' prisons today? The first resident would be the United States government. I want a government that is definitely paying its bills, who doesn't owe trillions of dollars. But many today are in prisons of addiction. Gluttony, I won't stay there long. Tobacco, I like to say something about tobacco. When I was a teenager, about 13, Bob McDonald offered me a cigarette. We were on the property of what was then Sterling Junior High School. I think it's called Bemis now. Bob McDonald handed me a cigarette, and I broke it in two and threw it on the ground. He chased me all the way home. He missed his school bus. My grandmother was told to quit smoking. She goes, "I'll never quit smoking." She said that, right, Dad? But she quit when they cut out most of her tongue and her lower jaw. It was not pretty. Pastor Paul, do you believe that cigarettes ought to be outlawed? 100%. There aren't too many things that will make me more violent than someone blowing cigarette smoke at me. But we have people who are addicted to tobacco. They're addicted to alcohol. I remember my dad telling me, "Paul, you have alcoholics in every branch of your family. Don't start." Drugs, both legal and illegal. Sexual perversions. Homosexuality has come out of the closet and is trying to force itself down our throats. Lewdness. Gambling. Materialism, entertainment, people who are addicted to hatred, to jealousy. Debtor's prison. Samson, as you know, was addicted to lust. Delilah was addicted to money. The town leaders were addicted to power. We live in a world that's addicted. This man was demon-possessed. He was naked. He lived in the tombs. But when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him. Take your Bibles, and if you would, verse 35. We know the story. Jesus allowed the demons to leave this man and go into some swine who then ran. Once they were possessed, ran down into the sea and drowned. And they that kept the swine went into the city and told what had happened. And they've come out to see what's happened. Verse 35 says, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed." Now notice what he was doing. Now here was a man that they had chained and fettered, trying to control him, and he would break the chains and the fetters. Well, we find that they were mean and ferocious. And here we find one sitting at the feet of Jesus. Have we come to the feet of Jesus? Have we come to that one that can save our soul? Notice, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. The Bible tells women you're to dress modestly. He tells men not to look on women with lust. But we find here, he's clothed. And in his right mind, there's been a change. And Jesus can bring a change in our heart and in our life. And they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, that being Jesus, to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Jesus is not going to stay where he's not wanted. He's not going to stay if we tell him to go. Our world today has told Jesus to leave. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Mark has it this way, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We find that there is one that is enslaved. Jesus' desire is to free us. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also says that he has offered us a gift, and that gift is Jesus Christ. May I say this, in our society we find that many care about money, and it has become their God. We find that many think of material things, and how great it means to them, and many times they're name droppers. You know, they didn't just get new carpet, they got something carpet. But the entertainment world has taken over. And people desire to be entertained. We find that the multitude besought Jesus to leave. The healed man wanted to go with him, but he said, no, go to your people and tell them of your healing. And he went. Of what are we an example of today? The healing of Christ? Or of the world taking control? Shall we stand together? We'll have a time of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray by yourself. You can do so. If you'd like someone to pray with you, please let it be known. I'll ask you two questions. Number one, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? If not, we'd be more than happy to show you from the Word of God what you must do to know the Lord. Or if you are a believer, are you where you belong spiritually? Do you have a desire to be near the Lord? Or have we drifted away? Only you can answer that question. Only you can get things right with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, as we have this song of invitation, we ask that the Spirit may move and hearts made right. And as we sing Almost Persuaded, we know, Lord, that there are those who say, almost, Lord. But unfortunately, they never say yes. But Lord, we pray that they would say yes today, giving themselves over to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.